A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning, taking your calls and questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. So many questions. I wish we had we need the show to be like 6 hours long, Ton, to answer all the questions. But I'm glad that our listeners are patient, and then they just ask again if we don't get to them. Brian Lloyd is also with us this morning because we are at Olson's Greenhouse in Salem this morning, talking about all the wonderful plants that you can find from Olson's today at Home Depot, Walmart, and Costco. So check them out when you're there today. Let's go to our next caller, and that is Suzanne in Pleasant View. Good morning, Suzanne, and what is your question?
I have a couple of questions. The first one is I planted some Vanderwolf pines about 15 years ago, and I lost all three of them to some kind of a bug. Not sure what it was. Anyway, those have been cut down, and I would really like to replant the same type of tree, but I'm wondering if there's a preventative or something I can put on the trunk to prevent those dying.
And did then you have anybody... Question... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead with your second question.
Okay. My second question is I have about a 30-year-old red leaf maple in my backyard. Beautiful tree. Planted some Polystipina seed underneath it last fall, and it did really well. But now I'm back to nothing. Just little patches of grass. I'm wondering if sod would do well or if I just need to start over with a new grass seed mix.
Well, if the grass seed isn't thriving under the tree, it's probably too shady. And so the only grass seed that you could really try to see if it did better is called red fescue. And most garden centers
red?
Or farms, yeah, red fescue, R-E-D. And then okay. Fescue is F-E-S-C-U-E.
Yeah.
So red fescue would be the most shade tolerant grass we have that grows here. It looks a little different,
okay.
But if it doesn't take, then you're too shady and you may have to have an arborist carefully thin that tree out a little bit or limit up so that you can get more sunlight in. Because you
okay.
do reach a point that no grass will survive because the shade's too dense. So as far as your Vanderwolf pines, how long were they in before they died?
Oh, about 15 years.
Okay, so it could have been a bug that did take them down. They're very hard to get established. Well, not super, but you see a lot of them decline in the first year or two. So did they die from the tops down?
We just noticed some of the needles starting to turn brown. And it was a really hot summer. So we added a little more water to the schedule. And that didn't work. But
so did the.
Let
me halt you for just a minute and ask on that. I'm really curious about how they died, because it would tell me if it maybe is a disease or insect. Did you find any sawdust or anything in the branches when you took the trees out?
We did not.
Okay, so it probably was a disease that did take them out. So I can't really say for sure if you can put some more Vanderwolf pines in there or not, not knowing the specific diseases. Now, there is another pine called Austrian and another one called Bosnian pine. And both of those are just a little more adapted to our climate. And so if you wanted to replace them for something a little bit more medium-sized, I'd maybe go with Bosnian pine.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. A next listener has been suffering with strawberry root weevil and mildew, powdery mildew in their peonies for years. And last year, they seem to have gotten the strawberry root weevil under control, but they still don't have the mildew under control. And they're wondering How early and they can spray the preventative?
Yeah, they would need to do probably, I would skip the like neem oil and maybe move towards something like liquid F-stop, because it has propiconazole in there, which is a curative.
Mm-hmm.
And they would need to start spraying as soon as those peonies start to leaf out in the spring and do that weekly. Now, the other thing they need to do is keep their overhead sprinklers from getting them, because the overhead sprinklers spread powdery mildew along with humidity and a few other things. And so if they could just irrigate those from their bases, that would also help.
That's probably why they continue to have problems,
I think,
right?
It is.
Okay, let's go to Doug in Cottonwood Heights. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
What was your question?
I have a question about my petunias. Many years ago, and I'm talking about 30 or 40, I used to plant petunias, and I had problems with the tobacco budworm eating all of the blossoms off. So I stopped growing petunias because I didn't want to keep spraying all the time. Well, about 10 years ago, I started growing petunias again. I didn't have problems with the tobacco budworm, but I'd plant them, and they seemed to take off and really grow, and I'd wake up one morning, and all of a sudden, a plant would just be all shriveled up, and it would die, and I couldn't understand why, so I started putting wave petunias in. I had better luck with them, but I still have about 20% of them that all of a sudden they just shrivel up and die. Can you tell me what my problem is?
Well, are you planting petunias in the same spot every year?
Yes.
Don't do that. You need to rotate at least every other and preferably every third. And so that's probably some of it. You may have a buildup of diseases in there that the petunias are somewhat susceptible to. And when you're doing something like wave or more modern ones, they could be a little more resistant. But I would really switch out what you're planting, because that's just a recipe for disaster, growing the petunias in the same spot year after year after year.
Okay. I have an English garden, so I try to, you know, mix different flowers in it, but the petunias I used, I kind of put in that same general area there. So I guess I'll need to try something else.
I would, and it's not that you can't grow the petunias, but I would give it a break every other year at least and see if that helps. And Brian, do you have some suggestions that would be good
replacements? Yeah, I was going to say, give them some alternatives, Brian.
Yeah, exactly what I do, because petunias are still susceptible to this day to the budworms, and they haven't bred anything out of that. They are more hardy to diseases, but it sounds like you're getting a root rot, which will take just one or two plants out at a time. And so what I do is I alternate usually. I love petunias, but I'll still alternate between vinca and petunias every other year. And sometimes I'll even choose something different like zinnias, one of the perfusion zinnias that grows really short. They all give kind of a similar type of color and height to the petunias, especially if you're using waves.
Yes.
But look for one of the vinca. You'll need to put them in a little bit later. That's one of the tender plants that we don't still start selling until middle of May. But vinca will give you a lot of color, just like the petunias did.
And they're super heat tolerant also.
Right.
I do use vinca quite often, so it's a good one. They're a little harder to get started, but
yeah, maybe mix in some the lower growing zinnias. And that could
help. Okay.
All right. Thank you for your call this morning. And you're listening to the KSL Greenhouse, coming to you this morning from Olson's Greenhouse. And we're going to come back with our final segment.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. We just need more minutes in the day, more hours in the show to answer all of your questions as we head back into this wonderful growing season. We are at Olson's Greenhouse today with Brian Lloyd. Brian, we appreciate you having us here today.
Thanks for being here.
I hope people know that this is a family-owned business and something you guys have been doing for, did you say four generations?
For four generations. My great-grandfather-in-law, my name is Brian Lloyd, so I'm an in-law, but I have five siblings, and we all run the business today, fourth generation. And my kids are working in the business, several of them, and so we're actually a fifth-generation business pretty soon here. And so we're a local family-grown, our family business. We grow everything locally, so that's acclimated and it will perform well for our yards. This is not stuff that comes out of the Pacific Coast, out of California or Oregon, that's too tender for our high light conditions. So these are all things that'll thrive for you and your gardens.
And you provide plants for?
For Home Depot and Walmart. We grow annuals and perennials, so bedding plants. And we sell to Home Depot and Walmart. And this time of year, when you see a lot of the plants at Costco, those come from us as well.
And I just found it interesting today to learn that you always have employees in your Home Depot and Walmart stores to make sure that these plants are being taken care of before people buy them.
Yeah, when you buy at Home Depot or Walmart, a lot of people don't think about this because those are national chains, but you're actually supporting local jobs for a lot of our employees as well as the Home Depot and Walmart employees.
Well, when I go into Walmart and I see their little garden center area, and there's some of the plants that will be wilted down. They're like, oh, those aren't Olson's.
No, we're out at the stores taking care because these plants need a lot of tender, loving care, even at the retail environment for the couple weeks that they spend there, to make sure that you get the best plant for your yard. So we actually have over 600 employees that work for our sister company called ProGrow Partners, and you might have even seen our vehicles out on the road. We're out just taking care of flowers at all those locations.
And you're hiring right now.
Yeah, if you love working with plants and working outdoors, this is a great seasonal job to have to supplement your income or even work full time.
You want to check out all the beautiful annuals and perennials right now in the Home Depot and Walmart stores and at Costco this morning. Let's take another caller. Let's see if we can squeeze in Marianne in Bountiful. Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning. I have a side yard that is grass, and it's also riddled with bamboo. And I would like to get rid of both the grass and the bamboo and instead plant fruit trees. And I'm wondering what is the best way to do that.
A glyphosate product. So Kills-All or Roundup would do it. And
so
you just mix it up according to the label instructions. You'd probably need a concentrate and maybe a tank sprayer, just one of those pump sprayers that you can carry, and just mix it according to instruction and spray everything, and then give it a couple of weeks and make sure everything is dead.
Okay, and then after that, should I dig it up or use a sod cutter or an excavator?
You could use a sod cutter. Sometimes that grass is a little tough to till through unless you get a commercial-grade tiller from someplace like Home Depot. And that would get through it most likely, but then you'd have to rake it off. So you could go either direction.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call. I'm going to live dangerously, Ton. We have just 2 minutes, but I want to take this call from Chris in Orem. Good morning, Chris. Hi, Chris. What can we help you with this morning? Okay, Chris is gone. He has left us, so I will go back to our texters. And I'm noticing, let's see, what's the difference between compost and soil prep or soil conditioner?
Well, they're interchangeable. Soil conditioner is usually compost. They can be other products, but compost are a kind of soil conditioner.
Okay, so this next person would like to apply some seed over an existing yard. They have a few dead spots. So what would be, this is really complicated. They're going to apply seed and then a garden box mix, compost mix. And they have a few dead spots and thinning grass. Is there a proper combination? Does that make sense to you?
No.
Am I missing something?
They may need to call in next week.
Okay. Or you can send us a message on KSL on the Facebook page, KSL Greenhouse Facebook page on the Messenger. I'm sorry. I made a mess of that question entirely. One of our texters telling us thanks for the daffodils that they bought at the Cedar City Home Depot today.
Thanks for buying.
Brian.
From a local grower. Thank you.
Right. And is it too late, Tom, to prune some branches off their honey locust?
No, do it now. It's always better to do that late winter to early spring, but they can prune some. Don't take more than 20% of the total branching out.
How about rose bushes?
Roses are fine, too. Get them done.
Okay, what about grape hyacinths? How do we get rid of those? That's one of the texts.
That's going to be
way too long.
Way too long, and it's
next
digging
Saturday.
Them out and war of attrition.
All right. Have a great Saturday. Thanks for joining us. Our KSL Greenhouse Show today is sponsored by Olson's Greenhouse. You can find their plants at Home Depot, Walmart, and Costco.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.